Genesis chapter 1, if you'll stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read several here, but I'll read quick. Hopefully I don't read too quick. It says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding fruit after his fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself." That's a very interesting thing, and we'll look upon that later. "Upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly upon above the earth in the open firmament of the of heaven. And God created great wells, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that you just help me tonight. Lord, you know how much I need your help. Just help me to have clarity of thought and speech, Lord. And help me just to glorify you in everything I say. And help us just be able to just realize how big of a God you are, and how small we really are, but how much time you spend with me. And thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunity we have just to come to your house again tonight. Lord, I pray for the prayer requests that were mentioned. And yeah, I know there's many more prayer requests in this room right now that just weren't turned in. I pray that you would help each and every one of those. Well, thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, I was thinking about preaching this, and I actually started in children's church. The last few weeks, I've been preaching about David's relationship to God. First off, the first week of January, I started out, David's relationship to God was as a creator-created relationship. God was the creator, so I started out with that. The second week, I talked about God as being the sustainer. Not only did God create life, he just didn't leave it out there for it to hopefully exist by itself. He also sustains that life. Right. And then I went on and started talking about different things about how God's our Father, and we're working through that. But the first few weeks, and this is where most of this is kind of my study for children's church, but like I've told you before, there's a lot of things that you don't, although you need a knowledge of it, you don't necessarily tell the kids because they don't understand it. And I'm gonna just share some of the things I've, and it's basic stuff, it's nothing, I'm no scientist, I'm not a geologist, I'm nothing like that. But I have eyes, I have ears, I have a nose, I have hands. And God's creation is everywhere around us. And I just want to go through some things tonight. And we're going to go through the creation story and see. And I just want to pick out each day a couple of things that's so amazing about our God. And why I believe in God. And why I believe that there is a God. I had a little girl, and this solidified it for me. This past Sunday morning, we always sit, or sometimes the van sits waiting for us, but we sit at the country porch there in Duggar and wait for the van that picks up the Paxton and Duggar kids. They meet us there, and we take the kids from there on the bus and bring them into church. And we was waiting on the van to get there, and I had a little girl, but I believe I was leading the program and stuff, and I had a little girl come up to me, and she asked me a question. It's one of those questions that you really don't know the answer for, so you give her some. I mean, I knew the answer, but the answer is, I don't know, it's just uncomprehendable, and that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. She's like, Brother Chad, she's like, how do I know that Jesus was real? Well, there's no fossils, you know. I mean, how do you explain to an 8-year-old, how do I know? She's like, I know the Bible says he's real, but how do I know the Bible's real? She asked me these questions, and I'm sitting in the driver's seat, and I'm looking in the mirror, and I was like, well, and I just gave her a very quick, well, I believe, you know, the things you see, your creation, the feeling you had when you, because she's proclaimed that she's asked Jesus in her heart to save her. That feeling that you have in your heart that you know that Jesus is there, that's how you know he's real. But have you ever, and I've thought this, how do I know that this life I'm living isn't just, everything I'm doing is not in vain. Everything I'm doing is just not on an imaginary basis. That God really is real. That Jesus really does exist, did exist, and walked this earth and died for my sins. How do I know that? All right? Well, I couldn't explain all that to her, but God kind of said, well, I think you need to preach why you believe that. I want to take your Bibles to Psalms chapter number 8. We saw in verse number, we saw, first of all, that God created light. And this is, you know, obviously God created the sun, but light is a lot more than just the sun. We see the sun, but you will see that God actually didn't allow the sun and the stars and the moon to be seen until later on. But first, God just said there was light. There wasn't any source of light. There was just light. And I don't really understand it, and I'm going to say this probably 50 times tonight. I don't understand it all, but I can see it, and I know it's true. I don't understand everything, but I can see it, and I know it's true. Psalms chapter number 8. I told you to go there, and I didn't go there. Psalms chapter number 8. We're going to read this chapter real quick. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Psalm chapter 19, verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Psalms 33, verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. You think about all the great things that man has ever accomplished. Oh, well, man, we've sent satellites into space. Wow, that's pretty amazing. Do you realize that the satellites that man has sent into space has not left the orbit of the sun, the sun's solar system? We haven't left any. Well, we've sent stuff to Mars. Well, congratulations. And I'm going to show you why that's not that big a deal. The biggest thing that man has ever done, the most crowning achievement, when man walked on the moon. So, you say, Brother Chad, but that's an incredible feat. Not when you compare it to what God's done. Not when you compare it to what God has produced. We know that the sun, this is just, I want you to try to comprehend this. Brother Chad can't comprehend it, maybe you can. We know that the sun is just an average star. Just an average star. With an average brilliancy among the billions of stars in the Milky Way. Just one star. Our sun, that the earth orbits around is one star in the Milky Way. The Milky Way galaxy is one of millions of galaxies. So our galaxy, that our little sun, that our tiny little Earth is rotating around, is one of millions of galaxies. Okay? Man has telescopes. I believe they're called radio telescopes. I'm not sure. This was kind of outdated information. They're supposed to be able to see 6 billion light years into space. 6 billion light years. Now, the whole light year concept, it sounds a very like a Star Trek, Star Wars type of term, and it really is. Because it's too far out there for the human mind to really comprehend. But I will tell you, I did a bunch of research. How far is a light year? Okay? How far is a light year? Light travels at a speed of 186,282 miles per hour. That's how fast light travels. That's why when you flip on a switch, light comes on basically immediately. Basically, it takes longer for electricity to travel there than it does for the light to hit your eyes. Okay? So light travels, that's an instant. Okay? Basically, you could travel around the Earth 7 times in 1 second at the speed of light. All the way around the Earth. 7 times in 1 second. That means that basically a light year is 5.88 trillion miles. The nearest star besides our sun is, they think, about 4.5 light years away. The nearest star besides our sun. So 4.5 times 5.88 trillion miles away, there's another star out there. Sure, I can. No, I don't grasp that. Okay? For instance, okay, Brother Chad, let's take a trip and travel a light year away. Okay, we would have to get on an airplane and travel 500 miles an hour for about 1.34 million years to go 1 light year. Okay? My mind really doesn't comprehend all that. 1.34 million years at 500 miles an hour to go 1 light year, and the nearest star is 4.5 light years away, and man can see stars that are over, what did I say, 6 billion light years away. I thought my rifle shot pretty far. I don't really get that. But you realize how amazing that is? That and I don't know, and I'm not necessarily condoning, I think they're pretty good. Down in Kentucky, they've got the Creation Museum. Has anybody ever been to the Creation Museum? It's okay. I mean, it's really neat. I mean, if you believe in creation, it's kind of like going and they're trying to convince you to believe in creation. Well, if you already believe in creation, it's like, okay, well, that's neat, but I already believe in it, so why? Well. But if you go, they have the planetarium. And if you go there, that would be the only thing that I would, it's amazing. You sit back in the seat, and you just, I think you'd have to go in there 4 or 5 times in a row to even grasp what they're starting to talk about. But it's amazing if you see the Earth. You know, it looks pretty big, and then they blow it up to our solar system. Well, it doesn't look quite so big. Then they blow it up to our solar system inside our galaxy. Well, you can't even see our solar system at that point. And then they blow up the Milky Way galaxy into all the rest of the galaxies, and you have no clue what you're looking at. It's that fast. But our God created all that. You know, I don't understand all that, but when I've seen, I don't really keep track, I've seen more shooting stars this year than I have any other year in my life. Not that I've really necessarily looked up in the sky a whole lot my other years of my life, but just walking out, you just see a star shoot across the sky. And you look up and think, wow, all I see here is one galaxy. I don't even see the other galaxies. And God said, I just spoke that. That's all there is. And then what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Okay, it's a pretty amazing thing. I don't understand all of that, but I can see the stars. I know they're there, and I know it's true. Amen. Science for me does nothing more than tell me how much bigger my God is. That's all it does. I wouldn't have thought that the nearest star I saw was 4.5 light years away. Don't look that far away to me. But if science tells me that, and I don't really know how they gauge that, I mean, I don't really know anything that goes that fast, but, you know, if they're telling me that, that just tells me my God's that much bigger, that much greater. The waters, we see the waters where God divided the firmament. Do you know water in space is a rare, rare thing? Water, there is no water to speak of in space. And our Earth is a water planet. That's what some people call it, the water planet. I didn't write it down. Our planet is the only planet that has a permanent reserve of water. It's like 361 million cubic miles of water on the Earth. Water is the only thing that can sustain life for any length of time. If you think about water, we just think about water, it just comes out of the drinking fountain. Do you think water is a solvent? How many things are solvent by water? Water is a solvent, but we drink water. So you're basically drinking a solvent. Kind of disturbing. But you drink a solvent. Water is the only thing, think about this, that can sustain life because water is transparent. There has to be a sun to sustain life. Well, water is the only thing that the sun can go through to sustain life in the water. I never really thought about that. Think about this. I didn't really think about this either until I was checking things out. Water is one of the only things that expands when it freezes. Think about everything else that when stuff freezes. When stuff gets cold, it all contracts. When my fingers get cold, well, it's not so bad with this ring. My other ring, when my fingers would get cold, if I went like that, my ring would fly off because my fingers would contract, all right? We finally got it downsized where it actually stays on my finger now. That's a blessing. Not spending hours looking through weeds. Oh, Lord, help me fight this. I'm going to be dead if I go home without my wedding ring. But, you know, water, it is. That's one of the only things that expands when it freezes. You know, one thing that's fascinating about that? If water did not do that, oceans would freeze from the bottom up. It's interesting. So God has a plan for everything. 1 inch of rain on an acre. 1 inch of rain on an acre is over 30,000 gallons of water. And God, you know, states will get inches of rain. So God's just dumping 30,000 gallons of water every acre for every inch. I don't get that. I got a cup of water up here. It's not mine. I don't know who drank out of it. I'm not going to drink it. But you know, and you think, you go outside during the summer and you look up in the sky and there's all those clouds floating overhead. Do you know what basically those are? Water. Basically floating overhead. You know, as much as Brother Chad would try, I mean, I can take water all day. And I cannot for the life of me get to stay near. Excuse me. I can throw it up all day, but all I get is wet. All right? But God can have billions of gallons of water just floating there above us. And until God says, water there, they could go years without water. Elijah went 7 years without water. Think of all those clouds that they saw go overhead. Billions of gallons of water just sitting there. God said, nah, not yet. Not until you get right with me. Same thing could happen to America. Doesn't matter how much water. It doesn't matter if this is the water planet. God doesn't want it to rain. It's not going to rain. I don't care what the cycles are and the evaporation and condensation and rain. If God says, nuh-uh, it's not going to rain. It's amazing if you think about it. Behold, Job chapter 12, verse 15. Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also, he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth. I heard a man say this, fire and water are man's two best friends, and man's two worst enemies. They're good servants, but they're bad masters. You know, yeah, we want water, but it was only in 2008 that we couldn't get rid of water. You ever think about that? That was just, 4 years ago? Something like that? 5 years ago now? we was like, oh God, please stop the water. Stop the flooding. And then last year we was praying for rain all year. That's all in God's control. God deems who gets water. Psalms 104 verse 3, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. I don't understand how water sustains me. I should have looked up the percentage of the human body is water. But I know that there's water. I know without water a person will die. I know without water everything on earth would die. I don't understand it. And this is just a country boy looking at a cornfield that hasn't had water for, 2 months, all shriveled up and dead. I can't imagine humans without water for 2 months. That'd be pretty rough. But I don't understand it, but I can see it and I know it's true. That's why I believe there's a God. Land and plants. God created the land and plants. I took a field trip today right after school. Went over to my mom and dad's house. And I picked up 2 acorns. This one, they're from the same tree. This one actually has already started to sprout. This is from this past year. This one hasn't quite, starting to split, but hasn't sprouted yet. These acorns come from a tree. If you've ever been, Walton may have seen it when they was over there. If you've ever been to my dad's house, there's 3 oak trees in a line. The biggest one, and I took my tape measure because I wanted to know how big it was. And some of the, Brother Michael and Brother Levi might know because we used to play under it when they'd come over or something. I measured, it's 23 feet in circumference. 23 feet in circumference. So it's basically from the piano to here. That's how big around it is. It's a big oak. That's where these acorns came from. That's circumference. So that's all the way around. It's over 7 feet through at the base. So it's 7 feet diameter, 23 feet circumference. I don't understand how a tree like that can come from this. But as sure as I'm standing here, it's still standing over there. I don't understand how the potential, how the energy that is bound up in this little shell can produce a tree that's probably a couple several hundred years old. I don't know how it is. That's the only reason I'd ever cut the tree down, just to see, count the rings in it. I don't understand that. This is another thing I don't understand. I don't understand how a tree can take just being in a tree, a stationary thing, and can get bigger year after year. I don't know of a single structure that man has ever built that has got bigger as it gets older by itself. Yeah, you can add on to it. But gets stronger and gets better as it gets older. Nothing man ever has done that. Have you ever thought about the root system of a tree that big? There's no other foundation that man can duplicate that is like the root wad of a tree. You can't, a big oak like that, you can't dig one out hardly. You just can't. Might as well get some dynamite and blow it out. In fact, that's what a lot of guys do. They honestly dig holes under and blow them out with dynamite because you can't dig them out. The foundation is so far out. Brother Donnie Davis and Dad can tell you, you have a fence row that's got big oaks on it, you will lose 12, 18 rows worth of corn out from that fence row. I'm not saying it won't produce anything, but it won't produce like the rest of the field will because that tree is sucking so much energy out from that far out. It's amazing to me. How can something like that happen? And then I can take my chainsaw and cut a tree down and take all the energy that the sun and the earth has put into that tree and stick it into my stove and it'll produce heat for me for this winter. That's right. So I can take the sun's energy that's been stored up in a tree, stick it in an iron box, light it, and it will reheat just like the sun heated it at one time. How does that happen? I don't know, but I do it every winter and it works. That's how I know that there's a God. That's why I believe that there's a God. Because God's good to me. God shows, I don't see nothing. I don't have any extra vision from God, but all you gotta do is look around you, folks. And God's everywhere. Another thing to me that's pretty amazing about the land and plants You know, man's built some pretty amazing buildings. But what did it take? Two airplanes and two of man's greatest buildings went down? Wonder how many airplanes have crashed into Mount Everest. I never saw it move anywhere. Still sitting there as far as I know. And God just thought that. I want a big old mountain right there just to show how big I am. God just thought that. It's pretty amazing to me. A bag of corn. I'm going back to the farmer thing. I don't understand how I can have a bag of corn up here, a bag of seed corn, with say, I don't know why they started counting kernels of corn in them, but they have about 80,000 kernels of corn in a seed in a bag of corn. You can plant between 2 and 3 acres of corn. Let's say, for instance, you planted 3 acres of corn with one bag that I can hold with one hand, basically, between 45 and 55 pounds. I can plant about 3 acres, 2 to 3 acres of corn, let's say three. A good field will yield over 200 bushels an acre. But let's say, for illustration's sake, 200 bushels an acre. So for 3 acres, I'm making 600 bushels. Okay? Say, Brother Chad, I don't really know how much that is. How much is 600 bushels? A bushel of corn at the proper percentage of moisture is about 56 pounds, give or take. Okay? So that bag of corn that I can hold in one hand will produce 33,600 pounds of corn in about 4 months, whatever. How does that fall? And that's not including the stalk that's 10, 11 feet high that just goes out the back of the combine. How in the world, is there anything man has ever done that can do that? They can't even touch it. They think that they're smart, that they can cross, they think they're smart for just being able to crossbreed different genes of corn. Ooh, I got a God that can grow it. Without my God, it would just sit there in the ground and rot. That same bag of corn, granted it wouldn't produce as well, but it could sit in a shed for a couple years, and I could still take it out and put it in the ground. You know what? It would probably still grow. Maybe not all of it. Some of it might deteriorate, but most of it would probably still grow. It would produce as well, but it'd still grow. How is that possible? I don't understand it. I see it, but I don't understand it, but I know it's true. It's a pretty amazing thing to me. Psalms chapter 95, verse 4 and 5 says, "In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land." Before we move on, I got a picture. I get a chainsaw magazine that they sell chainsaw parts. They got a poster in there when they were virgin cutting the redwoods out in California. They got a picture of guys, crazy. They're standing on, they take their chainsaws and plunge cut them into the tree, stick boards in them, and they climb the tree like that. At 120 feet in the air, they make their first cut on the tree. At 120 feet in the air, it's 7 feet in diameter. That's as big as that oak at my dad's house is at the base, but this is 120 feet in the air. I can't even comprehend that. That's amazing to me. I don't know how it's possible, but I saw it. I know it's true. I know my God's a pretty big God. The sun, moon, and the stars. How can the sun give life to everything? How can the moon affect the tides? How can the moon affect the deer, the animals? How does that? How does the gravitational pull affect us? Do you realize if we were a few million miles closer to the sun, that Al Gore's global warming theory would actually be a reality? But you know what? You know, if we were a few million miles farther away from the sun, we would have a literal ice age here on this earth. But God said, I want this sun right here. Not too hot, not too cold. Do you know, realize if the earth didn't pivot on its axis, that we would have a scorching hot, unbearable zone around the equator, and everything else would be frozen. But God just kind of turns it, just like a a turkey or a chicken on a rotisserie. Just kind of simmers it real nice. Cooks it all the way around. I can't explain it, but I can see the results of it, and I know it's true. God gives us amazing seasons. I'm not real fond of the one he gives us right now, but I like the seasons. I like seeing the leaves change. I like seeing the new plants come up. That's why I like the outside, I guess, because you can see God everywhere. So sun, moon, and the stars. Can you imagine the world without a sun? Wonder what, when Jesus was crucified and the sky was blackened. This is in the middle of the day. The sky's blackened. I wonder what those people thought. Wow, where'd the sun go? They probably thought the sun disappeared. No, it was still there. God was just so mad at people that, or he had to turn his back. He couldn't watch anymore. So what if the sun was darkened? That'd be pretty interesting. Birds and water animals. How does an eagle soar in the sky? Took man years to figure out how to fly an airplane. And the eagle just flaps his wings and takes off. How do they do that? How can a hummingbird fly? We go from an eagle to a hummingbird. A hummingbird still amazes me. Their wings are flapping so fast they hum. That's why they go, duh, hummingbird. Hey, how do birds survive the winter? We'll look at this later. How do birds survive the winter? Well, we won't go there. How do any animals survive the winter? Well, some don't. How can a fish suspend itself in water? It's pretty amazing. How can fish survive in water? How can humans not survive in water? How can some fish live miles below the surface and not be crushed from the weight of the water? I don't know, but it's true, it exists. I don't understand it, but I know it's true. How do geese fly the same route? How can salmon swim miles upstream to go back to their same, they've tracked it with tracking devices, the same breeding spot where they were born? How do they know which route to take, which creek bed to go up? I don't know, but it's interesting. Maybe it's just possible. I doubt it. How, land animals. God created land animals. How did God create the deer with the ability to survive the winter? Any animals with the ability to survive the winter. Let me ask you this. I've bought a lot of camouflage in my life, but I have never seen an animal that can hide as well as a deer. A deer can just stand there looking you right in the face, and you'll look over it 4 or 5 times before you see it standing right there. And man has tried to come up for years. Oh, this is the newest camouflage. They won't see you at all. You realize the only time that you don't see the camouflage is on the commercial when they have to find the perfect tree to stick the guy in so everything blends, and he has to hold his arm. And the deer, he can walk around, and he'll just look around, and God blends him in perfect. Amazes me all the time. The snowshoe hare, brown in the summer, turns white in the winter. Just by chance, I'm sure. Psalms chapter 29, verse 3. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory of the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. I didn't even have this in my notes, but what about thunderstorms, lightning? I saw some amazing displays of lightning this year. Just utterly beautiful. Millions of volts of electricity. A man spent years trying to build a power plant. Good luck. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. It's just, and I don't have time to go through all the animals that amaze me, but every spring when I go over, when I took my daughter Emily over to that hog farmer I used to work for, and she was trying to feed the calves, his new calves, and just to see the new calf and just to watch him grow and to run around and to play, it's amazing. You can't understand it if you've never been around it, but it's amazing to watch new life come, and then it dies, but there's always new life, always new life. How God just replenishes that. Now we're just starting on man, and we won't spend a lot of time on man. But man, you all know, man is amazing. The prime creation of God is man. And I can't comprehend that. But how can man be single, a single being, but be composed of three different parts? There is no other thing that God has created that's composed of three. No animal is composed of three different parts. How can that be? How can man have a free choice to do what is right and what is wrong? I almost preached a whole message about the free choice of man. But how can man look up at a God that created him and said, no, I'm not going to do that? And how in the world can that God say, okay? Think about that. How can man do that? And God says, okay, it's your choice. I can't make you. I don't know, but God created us that way. How can man engineer, develop, and build what he has? How can man build a nuclear thing, a nuclear bomb with such power? We think it's power. But God, with a little earthquake not a few many years ago, sent a huge new tsunami and wiped out however many people, just with a little earthquake, and man had to have a bomb to do it. How can man be willing? How can man love and be loved? You say, Brother Chad, animals love. No, I don't think animals really love. I think they have an instinct that God gave them. I think there's a difference between love and what animals have. Well, animals have affection, yes, but not love. My dog, you know, he likes to come and have his head scratched, but I don't really consider that he loves me. Not like my wife loves me, all right? I definitely don't kiss him, that's for sure. How can man, you say, Bear Chad, but an animal, a mother bear will give its life for its cubs. Okay, I'll give my life for my family. But I've never seen a mother bear give their life for a cause. Well, thousands and thousands of our troops have given their life for a cause. Animals don't have a sense of a cause. Animals don't have a sense, I don't know if I'm conveying this right, but they'll just protect their own. Or it's a survival instinct. Man doesn't. Man has ideas, philosophies that they will fight for, that they will die for. Animals don't do that. As much as Walt Disney wants to portray them to, they really don't. As much, honestly, I think my mom and dad, this is kind of besides the point. I hadn't watched some of the cartoons growing up that they have today. And I'd seen a lot, you know, Bambi and stuff like that. But I really didn't think about them until I started watching them as an adult. I was like, what in the world? They teach some whacked out ideas on some of that stuff. That's besides the point, but they really do. I mean, yeah, it's cute and whatever, but the philosophy that is behind some of their teachings, some of their mannerisms in the different animals that they, you know, It's pretty crazy if you stop to think about, get past the cuteness and the funny, and look at what they're talking about. What are they trying to tell these young people? Think about it, but that's besides the point. How can a man believe in a God he has neither seen nor touched nor smelled? How can I do that? Well, I just showed you why I do. How can a man trust in something which there is no way to grasp? How can I believe something I can't touch? My mind can't grasp. I don't know, but God's given man faith. God has given that to man. Whether man uses and exercises that faith, that's up to man. That's that free will we talked about. But God has given to every man a certain portion of faith. God has created us in such a unique and wonderful way. We sure do serve a great and powerful God. Tonight I just want to give glory to God. When we look at our lives and the whole scope of things, when you go from the universe, let's start with us first. We go from man and then to the creation that God's put around us and finally to the universe. You know, man is, you start to realize that man is a really pretty small part of the whole scheme of things. Do you ever go to another city? And maybe you don't think like I do. Do you ever go to another city, maybe around, and everybody in that city is hustling and bustling about their own business? And you think, these people have no clue where I live. And we think, oh man, Jasonville, our towns are so important. Well, they have no clue where you live. They're in their own little world. In our own little world. But in the whole scope of things, we are pretty insignificant little creatures. We are. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. This is the last place and we'll be done. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. To me, it is amazing that when God created all of this, He still took time once a day to come down to a garden and take a walk with a man named Adam and a woman named Eve. And although He doesn't come down and walk with us, every morning I can get up and I can walk with God and I can talk with God. There's nothing between me and God as far as I don't have to go through another person. I go directly to God. In all the whole scope of things, although we are very small, God still takes time for His creation. And you think, oh, Brother Chad, but we're special. Well, let's see how special we are. Matthew chapter, what did I tell you? 6. Matthew chapter number 6. I'm sorry, I should have been there already. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 25. This, whenever I start getting discouraged and stuff, I really like to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 25. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It's amazing to me that God would take time for little old me. It's amazing to me, even more than that, that God would take time for a sparrow. When I was teaching the kids about this, I think this fact went home to them more than any other. I told them about how God, you know, all the little birds when I shot when I was young and with my BB gun, and then as I got older with different weapons and different methods of killing blackbirds, seeing how many shoot in one shot, and God saw each and every one that fell. I don't know if He was happy about it, but He saw each and every one that fell. The Bible says He did. Those flowers that grow, they're so beautiful. They didn't have to work hard to get beautiful. They didn't have to stand in front of the mirror to get beautiful. God just made them beautiful. How? I don't know. I don't understand it, but I can see it. I know it's true. If God knows every time a sparrow falls, I think He probably knows our needs, don't you? If God knows how many hairs we have on our head, this was kind of funny to me. He has to worry a lot less about me than a lot of other people, that's for sure. Yeah, I don't have to rack his brain near, it's hard to count. If God knows more about how many hairs we have on our head, I think He knows when we have a heartache, when we have something we can't share with anybody else. I think He knows that. So, Brother Chad, how do we apply this? Let's take time to appreciate the things that God orchestrates and the things that God created. Let's take time to appreciate them. Tomorrow when you go out, instead of just running to and fro with all your business, take time to look out and see. You know, winter, I understand why we have winter, but winter's a purging time. Winter's a time that things die off so that they can come back alive again. It has to be there. So take time to notice things. Winter is a wonderful time. I doubt you can see any stars right now, but on one of those crystal clear nights when it's really, I don't know what it is, but when the sky's clear, it's just cold. Go outside and look up at the sky. Take time to appreciate those things. Take time to just praise God for a minute. Trust in God for even the smallest things of life. I think if God can control a universe that is billions of light years away, and He knows when He's orchestrating each star to move in a certain way, but at the same time, He's in here with this room, with us in this room tonight, with each one of you, with whatever thoughts you have, He's with you. Whatever your thoughts may be, He's there. So trust God for even the smallest things of life. Live your life for those things that will count when this world burns. This world's going to be over eventually. I don't know when. I'm not a doomsday person. All right? I try to live my life pleasing to God every day because I don't know which day He'll come. But, you know, live your life with eternal things to value. Finally, you have to endure my singing. You know, the church, this is a nice side point. You know how you sing in the shower and it sounds really good? The church, the building like that, when nobody's here, if you sing, it sounds really good. So I was singing earlier downstairs stuff, and it sounded good. Whether it sounds good up here, that could be a whole nother thing. But this song, I've been singing this song for probably a week. And I really don't know the whole song. I'm just going to sing this little part, and we'll finish up with one last thought. But this song is just, I think Gail Russ sings this song. How big is God? How big and wide His vast domain? To write these words, these lips can only start. He's big enough to rule this mighty universe, yet small enough to live in my heart. Sorry. I don't understand it. But I know on September 5th, 1993, something happened in my heart. I can maybe explain away how a seed of corn can grow. I can maybe explain away how a huge oak tree can grow. But I'll never be able to explain away what He's done in my heart. That's what I told Kaylin Sunday. Kaylin, I can't explain it all to you. But if you've asked Jesus in your heart, there's a peace that comes with that. There's a peace that comes with it. I can't imagine being in the world. Excuse me. I can't imagine being in the world and going through life, you know, concerned about so many things that are so unimportant. So many things are so important. I don't know how they do it. But I know that in my heart, come hail, come high water, the earth burns up, we get too close to the sun, we all burn up, get too far away from the sun, we all freeze to death. I don't care. I don't. I really don't. Because I know that one day I'll be with Jesus in heaven, wherever that is. That's a whole nother thing. So which galaxy is it? Well, I don't know. Take your pick of one of the millions. I don't know. But I know He's in my heart. Amazing me that such a big God, as the song said, can come down and just live right here. Is that a word of prayer? Father, thank You for this evening. Thank You for how big a God You are. Lord, thank You for helping me through this tonight, Lord. And I pray that You just help us to not take for granted how big a God You are. But Lord, more importantly, help us not take for granted that Your desire, Your ultimate desire, is to live in the hearts of mankind. And Lord, there are many people out there who have never even heard and who have not the opportunity to hear how you can live in their heart. And I pray, Lord, that we'd be more earnest about going and reaching other people. Lord, I pray tonight that you just receive the glory and honor for everything that was done. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.